1320 AM and W248DE, broadcasting at 97.5 FM.
From the home of the Cranberry Blossom Festival, your news talk and sports station is locally grown radio, 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM.
This is CBS News on the Hour, presented by Indeed.com.
I'm Mara Rubin. Palestinian officials say Israeli strikes have hit 5 hospitals in Gaza. Israel says they do not fire on hospitals, but if we see Hamas, we will do what we need to do. The BBC's Nick Beek.
The Israeli authorities have said that by building command centers under hospitals in northern Gaza, Hamas has basically made them military targets, legitimate targets for the Israelis to move towards. All the while, people who've taken shelter in them, and as well as all the patients there, have described, in the case of 4 hospitals, being able to see Israeli forces nearby.
And the hunt is on who sent election offices in 5 states letters with powder, some with traces of fentanyl. Correspondent Jeff Pagase.
Law enforcement sources say the letters sent across the country appear to be threats to scare rather than seriously harm.
They're intentionally trying to break us. Break us enough to stop elections, and that's not going to happen. It quite frankly did the opposite. It lit a fire underneath us.
Investigators are working to track down the sender using the messages, symbols, and paper itself, along with examining the stamps for fingerprints to pinpoint the location where the envelopes were dropped in the mail.
Everything has been returned, but CBS News confirms the FBI seized New York City Mayor Eric Adams' phones. More from WCBS TV's Dick Brennan.
This is a remarkable escalation. The FBI investigating whether the mayor's 2021 campaign funneled illegal foreign money from Turkey. Just last week, the FBI raided the home of the mayor's chief fundraiser, Brianna Suggs, taking records and devices. And on that day, Adams blew off an important meeting on the migrant situation at the White House and came back to New York.
Michigan's football coach won't be on the sidelines today. CBS's Errol Barnett tells us why.
Jim Harbaugh has been benched by the Big Ten, banning the Michigan head coach for the team's last 3 games, including Saturday's pivotal head-to-head against Penn State. The suspension comes after a former Michigan staffer allegedly ran an in-person scouting operation where he sent friends to steal opponents' play-calling signals ahead of games.
Tonight is the championship game of the National Women's Soccer League, and 2 legends will play their final games tonight. Megan Rapinoe of Seattle and Allie Krieger of Gotham FC. Board members from the Hollywood Actors Union voted Friday by 86% to approve the deal with studios. This is CBS News.
Make the hiring process work for you. With Indeed's end-to-end hiring solution, you can attract, interview, and hire candidates all from one place. Start at Indeed.com/credit.
News talk and sports on both sides of the dial from Wisconsin Rapids and beyond. Locally grown radio 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM. Your place for this area's news, talk, and sports. We are locally grown radio 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM.
Hi, I'm Ryan Blaney, a third-generation race car driver, and we dedicate a lot of our time to going as fast as possible. My Grandpa Lou is the reason why my dad and I started racing, and I'm really proud to follow in his tracks. But when my grandpa was diagnosed with Alzheimer's, it was a very unexpected bump in the road for us. I've learned a lot on this journey with my Grandpa Lou, and the memories of my grandpa will always be with me. It's important to notice if older family members are acting differently, experiencing problems with their memory, or having trouble with routine tasks. Talking about Alzheimer's can be really tough, but if you notice something, have a conversation with your loved one. Encourage them to see a doctor or offer to go with them. Early detection of Alzheimer's can give your family time to explore support services, make a plan for the future, and access available treatments. The Alzheimer's Association provides care, support, and research to help you take control of the situation with your family and manage the disease together. If you or your family are noticing changes, it could be Alzheimer's. Talk about seeing a doctor together. Visit alz.org/time-to-talk. A message from the Alzheimer's Association and the Ad Council.
Here's your forecast from locally grown radio, WFHR. 42 today, under overcast skies, winds out of the south, 5 to 10 miles per hour. 35 tonight, slight chance for scattered rain showers. Tomorrow, high of 54. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki. Currently, it's 32. Here's your forecast from locally grown radio, WFHR. 42 today, under overcast skies, winds out of the south, 5 to 10 miles per hour. 35 tonight, slight chance for scattered rain showers. Tomorrow, high of 54. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki. Currently, it's 32.
You're tuned into your home for the Wisconsin Badgers on 97.5 FM and 1320 AM WFHR, locally grown radio. UK.
All across Wisconsin from Civic Media, this is Up North News Radio. Now, live from our Lake Wissota studio, here's the founding editor of Up North News, Pat Breitlow.
Here to tell you that it is Friday. Hey there, Wisconsin. Good morning. It's another beautiful day to have you here up north from wherever you're listening across the Civic Media Radio Network or on the Civic Media app by podcast or social media. Here on Lake Wissota, in the state of Wisconsin Sense, where we're going to unpack the news for you in just a bit from our home base, 93.5 The Tap in Chippewa Falls. Here's what's on tap this morning. Wisconsin legislators took some time away from their regular bickering on Thursday to pass a resolution naming the Brandy Old Fashioned as the official state cocktail. We'll look at what else they accomplished or punted at the Capitol. Courier Newsroom national correspondent Kia Vakil reviews how Republicans nationally did not have the best week ever. We'll talk about Wausau's Mayor Katie Rosenberg getting some very public acclaim from the Biden administration for how quickly and successfully her team at City Hall tackled the problem of finding and dealing with PFAS in the drinking water. And you thought the mayor was already ahead of the curve getting goats to trim the weeds in the city parks. Jimmy Costco will be here in our second hour to talk about the state football semifinal matches coming up tonight. We'll talk to Mark Jacob about media coverage of this week's elections in several states. Dan Schumacher will be along to talk about sports as well. And you can join us here, if you like, at 844-967-2789. 844-967-2789. Call it, text it, call or text from the Civic Media app. Email us, radio at upnorthnewswi.com, or put a comment on Facebook if you're watching us on the Up North News Facebook page or the Civic Media Facebook page. Let's look at 6 a.m. temperatures on this Friday. It is 36 up here in Chippewa Falls. Hayward is at 33. Park Falls, 32. Mosinee is at 34. Green Bay, 35. La Crosse, 39. Wisconsin Rapids, you're at 36 degrees this morning. Oshkosh, 34. Madison, 35, and it is 34 degrees in downtown Waukesha, where we go find one Greg Bach. We're a little punchy on this Friday morning. Yes. when we're saying Waukesha and Chippewa Falls. How are you,
Mr. I'm Bach? Feeling good. I'm doing good. I can't think of a good Waukesha food. The closest thing I got was Waka cheese omelet, and that's terrible. So I'm gonna keep no, trying, buddy.
No. See, not every city name lends itself to a food title. I mean, when you think of Oshkosh, you know, you think of Oshkosh the overalls, you know, and the jeans and things like that. So, you know, Chippewa Falls just lends itself to that. What is happening at the Laughing Tap this weekend? Your little comedy venue.
Well, we got a lot of stuff going on. Actually, Jenny Yang is headlining this weekend. If you are in and around the Milwaukee area or you want to make the travel down, I got bad news. The only show that's available, it's not bad news for us, but the only show that's available is the 10 p.m. show. The 7:30 is on Friday. Tonight and tomorrow are sold out.
Okay.
So, but yeah, you can find out more by going to laughandtap.com.
You know, you think that like in very large cities and maybe on the coasts and things, a 10 o'clock show is always going to sell out. But as I discovered a couple of weeks back in the Twin Cities, the late show on Saturday sometimes doesn't sell out because we're Midwesterners. We got to get to bed, don't you know?
I mean, We tried
doing time
Friday late shows. Oh my gosh, people are basically like, you know, can I laugh at that suggestion? I'm not going out on Friday 10 o'clock.
No, yeah. It's not like it was when I still laugh now at the thought of being a student at UW Eau Claire and you didn't even think about going down to Water Street till 10 o'clock, you know, or 10:30. And now I've been asleep for 2 hours by then.
That's the same thing here with our Water Street in Milwaukee, too. Like, you don't. Mm-hmm. The police don't come and start blocking the roads until like 10:30, 11 o'clock.
Yeah. not my game.
No.
Not my game anymore. This is the commemoration of Veterans Day, and we could not possibly thank our veterans enough for their service to their country, to all of us, and help protect the freedoms that we do hold dearly. And that maybe at one time we took for granted, but we have certainly learned over the past few years not to take certain freedoms for granted. And we thank our veterans for helping defend that. Because of the holiday, it's a holiday for Courier Newsroom, so there is no newsletter today. But if you go over to upnorthnewswi.com, you'll see my editorial about Election Day and Veterans Day falling on the same week. And what's at the intersection of those two special days? On our social media feed, just search for Up North News WI to get Facebook and scroll down, and you'll see a couple of different posts, Greg. One is really light and one is really dark. And the darker one is about how the most powerful Republican in Washington now, Mike Johnson, the new speaker, admitted once that he and his son monitored each other's porn usage. Speaking at a church in Louisiana in 2022, he talked about how he installed accountability software called Covenant Eyes on his devices in order to avoid viewing internet porn. There's just something here. There's so much more to this guy that we're going to learn.
The exact phrasing he uses was porn intake, which says to me that there was porn to intake. And we talked about this on Asgos, Wisconsin earlier this week, and someone texted in and says, as a former, I think it was a Methodist or whatever, like used to be married to a preacher, let me tell you, you can get around Covenant Eyes real easy.
I just think there's just so much there. They went with the safe choice. They went with the guy who they know is so conservative that there's no chance he'll work with Senate Democrats to try to cut a budget deal. So, I mean, we're almost guaranteed a government shutdown 7 days from now.
Oh,
but I think there's still more creepy things to come. So let's shift gears real quick. Another post that you'll find over on the Up North News Facebook page. Simple question. When does the Christmas tree go up? Does it go up right after Thanksgiving, sometime in December? Or they put as option C, it's already up. You freaks better not be. Come on.
Pat Kreitlow, such a judgmental man.
I'm normally not, but I'll make an exception for that one. It is November 10th, people.
Okay, so what's it for you then? When does the tree go up?
For me, it used to be like the first December weekend. I could not move myself to put up Christmas things in November.
Yeah.
I have also found it depends now that, you know, our kids are grown and gone. If they're coming back at a certain point a little earlier, then, you know, we'll dress it up a little bit. So we have put it up in November before, but I would typically like to wait till around December 1st or 2nd.
For as much as I love Christmas, I feel the same way. I feel like day after Thanksgiving, that's, if you want to do that, then good. Mm-hmm. Now, here's the big question. When do you take it down? And I'll sprinkle in there, when was, like, you're like, oh, honey, it's March, we should take this down.
No, we are definitely, because it seems to go up earlier and earlier.
Yeah.
You know, we're definitely more in the mindset of, yeah, it's the 27th, you know, 28th. Because you're typically off that week anyway. And so you want to get all of that done before you have to go back to work. So.
Yeah. Yeah.
We're pretty early on it, but we know my in-laws had always kept theirs up for quite a while, and it really bugged one of my wife's sisters and she let them know. And God bless them. I knew my wife got this passive aggressiveness from somebody and I love her for it. They then just kept the tree up longer. They'd put up hearts and leave it up for Valentine's Day. I think they kept it up as late as Easter. At one time, it was an Easter tree. And I just thought that was the best.
Oh, it's my like, gosh. My sister, she it's a tradition now on the night of Christmas. They take down all the ornaments and the day
the
after,
night of Christmas?
Yep, and the day and the day after she throws it in the street, takes a picture of it, and puts it on social media. She goes, moving on.
Wow. That's harsh.
Amy Bach does not have time for this. She's got things to do.
What are the odds that the moment the last person takes a bite of their Thanksgiving meal, you're clearing the dishes or you're just pulling the tablecloth out, like, done, get out.
Yep.
There's no football for you.
Here's a bag of food. Go home.
Oh, wow. Well, okay. Good on them, I guess. That seems a little abrupt, but I get it.
If you knew my sister, it speaks to her.
All right. Well, then we'll move on, and we'll do the same thing here. Yep. We're going to move on, but we're going to move on to something that is kind of in that same lighter vein, Greg, because the Wisconsin legislature was in session this week, and among the many weighty, heavy, serious matters to deal with was also the resolution that the brandy old-fashioned is now the official Wisconsin state cocktail.
Thank God.
Yeah, I know. Oh. That's what a load off, right?
Folks, our long state nightmare is over.
Now, but here's the thing. Yeah. This says something about this legislature. They couldn't even work up the gumption to, I say it's the official one. It's not really official because they passed it as a resolution. Mm-hmm. And you can pass a resolution about anything. If you pass it as a bill, that's got to be signed by the governor. Then it gets in like the blue book, you know, with like milk as the state beverage and everything. Mm-hmm. Then it's truly official. This is more like a symbolic, you know, official state beverage. It's like, guys, if you're going to go there, just get it done. Why are you passing a resolution about this?
And I can't remember who was in charge of it, but the people who were like spearheading this whole thing, they said something to the effect of like, you know, like people were like, well, doesn't it make it feel like Wisconsin will be viewed as like, don't you have anything better to do? And they literally said, no, we don't have anything better to do. This is important. And also, like, we should be walking around going, it's just a resolution, man. It's not real.
And I like how a couple of people got really snooty about it, that apparently the significant thing about this was that it's a brandy old-fashioned. It's like, don't you be putting bourbon or other whiskeys in your old-fashioned. It's like, relax. Yeah. Yes, the brandy's the default, but you might like, you know, to shake it up now and then. And I'll have one with bourbon or rye occasionally.
Not in my house.
But not in this state anymore. No, not at all. All right, let's check some sports real quick. Coming up here on 6:18 now on this Friday, Giannis scored a season-high 54 points, but he also committed two turnovers in the last 90 seconds of the game, and the Indiana Pacers rallied late to beat the Bucks 126-124 on Thursday night. Tomorrow night, they are in Orlando. Catch those games on News from the Center and Richland Center, Oshkosh Air Support, Lake Air and Amory, WRJN and Racine, locally grown radio in Wisconsin Rapids, and 98Q Country in Park Falls. Badger football is at Camp Randall tomorrow afternoon, 2:30, to take on Northwestern. The Packers play at Pittsburgh Sunday at noon. As we mentioned earlier, state high school football semifinal games are tonight, and Jimmy Koska will be along later on. When we come back in just over 60 seconds, a little bit more about the legislature and new bills that would affect elections. Wherever you're listening across the state on this beautiful Friday morning, when you're here, you're up north. We'll be right back.
Chris Domine is a husband and a father. Chris is an athlete. Chris is even an Iron Man. But 10 years ago, Chris was facing a very different story because his kidneys were failing.
Basically, the doctor said, if you don't get a kidney transplant and if you don't do dialysis, you are going to die.
Fortunately, Chris received a second chance at life, made possible by an organ donor.
You know, your well-being changes. From loss of hope to better times ahead.
More than 100 million people in America are registered organ, eye, and tissue donors. People of every age and ethnicity.
because they believe it's the right thing to do. Imagine what you can make possible by leaving behind the gift of life. Learn more and sign up as an organ, eye, and tissue donor. Go to organdonor.gov. A message from the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, Health Resources and Services Administration.
From Wisconsin Rapids to Stevens Point, your news talk and sports is on 97.5 FM, locally grown radio.
Much more in today's history lesson about a half hour from now. By the way, Heartache Tonight by the Eagles, their fifth number one hit, and also their final number one hit, which surprised me a little bit. I mean, I know there was that long hiatus, and then they came back. Their first single after that was Get Over It, but that only peaked as high as number 31, so it really was the end of the road for number one hits by the Eagles. Let me preview a couple of other weekend sports things for you here. Eight-man football, the championship is actually tomorrow in Wisconsin Rapids between Thorpe and Florence. The number two-ranked Badger women's volleyball team is at Maryland tonight and at Penn State tomorrow. The Badger men's basketball team has their second game of the season tonight at the Kohl Center against number nine Tennessee. That's an 8 o'clock tip-off, and it'll be on Peacock. Badger women's basketball tips off at 7 tonight at the Kohl Center versus Western Illinois. Marquette men's basketball is tonight at the Fiserv Forum versus Rider University of New Jersey. That game is on FS1. Marquette women's basketball is home tomorrow afternoon versus 23rd-ranked Illinois. And then the Badger men's and women's hockey teams are off for this weekend. Governor Tony Evers said on Thursday that he would sign into law a bill that would allow elections officials across the state to begin processing absentee ballots the day before Election Day if the Republican-controlled legislature passes the measure in its current form. The proposal is intended to ease the workload of local clerks and their staff who run elections and prevent ballot counting from stretching late into election night. The state Senate would pass this and then send it on to the governor. Of all of the possible election reforms out there, this one gets talked about a lot because in many states, you actually can count the absentee ballots that come in the day before. In Wisconsin, everything is treated like, hey, it's election day. The polls open at 7 a.m. And that's the earliest that local clerks can start opening those envelopes and feeding those ballots through the machine, just like the in-person ballots that are happening that way. Now, people have been doing conspiracy theories for the longest time now, because when you have to do it that way, the ballot counting can stretch way into the night, and people talk about, oh, there's funny business going on in the middle of the night. I think this is a perfectly fine bill to let clerks start opening and processing these things now and keep them in, secured locations. But I don't think it's going to stop the conspiracy theories. It's just now, instead of late at night, they're going to be saying, oh, what kind of funny business is going on the day before the election? When the fact of the matter is, there's never been funny business going on. Our elections are run by about 1,800 of your neighbors, local clerks, who process these things and have been asking for years to catch up with other states and count those absentee ballots starting the day before to lighten up the workload on people who are, it's just so nice of them to do what they do for all of us on Election Day. The Assembly on Thursday also approved three proposed constitutional amendments. Two of them are going to come before voters next April. One would bar the use of private grants in elections. And of course, that is because the legislature does not adequately help local governments fund elections. And so, again, these local governments have turned to outside help for making sure elections are secure and safe. The other one would prohibit non-citizens from voting. By the way, that's already in the Constitution, but we're just going to change the wording a little bit. The Republicans who passed this were unhappy because of private grants provided in 2020 by the Chicago-based group Center for Tech and Civic Life, CTCL, Center for Tech and Civic Life. And Republicans said that that help was used to unfairly increase turnout in Democratic strongholds like Milwaukee, Madison, Green Bay, Kenosha, and Racine. And I want to seize on that for a moment. Republicans say the money was used to unfairly increase turnout. That really says it all, that they are against increased turnout, where, again, if you're winning an election on your ideas, you want more people to show up. Now, this matter has been taken to court multiple times. No court has found anything untoward about this. CTCL divvied out some $10 million in grants, not just to the five largest Wisconsin cities, but to 214 local governments in 39 counties, including many areas solidly won by Donald Trump. CTCL did not turn down any grant request from any Wisconsin municipality that made the request, so that they could use the funds to pay and train poll workers, purchase new voting machines, drop boxes, personal protective equipment during a pandemic, and a range of other items that help, again, make sure elections run more smoothly so that we don't have lines that stretch several blocks away from a school or a city hall or wherever. The legislature's not doing their part on that. But now their answer is, well, you can't get that help from anybody else either. Because, again, they're not shying away from what they want to tell you is we don't want more people to vote. Another proposal the assembly passed would amend the state constitution. Here's what the constitution says right now. Every United States citizen age 18 or older who is a resident of an election district in this state is a qualified elector of that district. That is to say, you have to be 18 or older, you have to be a citizen, you have to be a resident, and that makes you a qualified elector. It means you can vote. Come in and vote. We want you to vote, you citizens who are 18 and older and residents. Here's the language that's going to be on the ballot in April. Strike that language, and it says only a United States citizen can vote in that district. It's saying the same thing, except it gives conservatives a reason to run ads about, you know, election integrity. And if you're opposed to this amendment, then you clearly want foreigners to vote in our election, when it hasn't been a problem. But if you can create that illusion, that can help you win elections. You create an illusion about migrant caravans, or you create an illusion about an economy that's in the toilet when it decidedly is not. So much of what we do these days is about the messaging that we send to voters on election day, which is why we're here now giving these messages far before election day. Here's an example of Republicans in disarray. The deposed former chair of the Assembly Elections Committee tried to jam her colleagues and force them to vote on discredited articles of impeachment against Wisconsin Elections Commission Administrator Megan Wolf, but her fellow Republicans basically ignored her and adjourned the session earlier this week. And then later in the week, when Janelle Branchen of Menominee Falls tried again, the chair ruled that her effort was out of order. Branchen was dumped after providing a stage for all manner of conspiracy theories in 2020 and supporting a primary challenger to Assembly Speaker Robin Voss. Courier Newsroom national correspondent Kia Vakil is on the way in just a bit as we look at some of the national headlines from elections in states all over the country this week. It's Friday morning on Up North News Radio. We'll be back.
Keep up on the day's news, talk, and sports on Wisconsin's home for locally grown radio, 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM. From the home of NASCAR's Dick Trickle, locally grown radio, 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM, your news, talk, and sports station.
Up North News Radio with Pat Kreitlow.
Are you asking the court to do something that spells out a school funding formula?
This is not about the school finance formula itself. It's about the voucher programs. It says to create a system of public schools. It doesn't say anything about creating two parallel systems and sucking the money out of the public school system and providing it to the private school system, which is what is happening.
Up North News Radio with Pat Kreitlow.
Weekday morning, 6 till 8.
On your local civic media radio station and on the app.
From Alexander Field to the Central Business District, locally grown radio, 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM.
The morning show on WFHR. It's different.
You can choose your mood. You can choose to, well, you know what? I didn't get much sleep last night, but I'm still going to have a good day, or still going to give it all I can, or be in a good spirit when I do the morning show today.
That's what I do every day with you, too.
I was going to say, what, you mean my normal mood of what, mild contempt for everyone around me? Okay, yeah, that's usually what I'm doing, yeah.
Sarcasm extraordinaire.
Weekdays from 8 to 10 a.m. right here on locally grown radio.
Right arm, right leg.
Left leg, left arm.
Both legs above the knee.
Both legs, part of my left hand.
Lost both my legs in Iraq.
These 9/11 veterans are just a few of the heroes we serve at Homes for Our Troops. For nearly 2,000 severely injured veterans, everyday life has become filled with barriers. So we build specially adapted homes with features like wheelchair access, roll-in showers, and pull-down cabinets that allow them to function independently and focus on their recovery and family. This life-changing gift of freedom is provided mortgage-free to these veterans, thanks to our donors and supporters. But we need you to join us, too, in completing this important mission. Please visit hfotusa.org and help build homes and rebuild lives.
In Iraq, our truck hit a roadside bomb. I had about 16 surgeries on my hand so that I could regain function. And when I came home, I needed a new roof due to a storm. And my electrical was deemed unsafe. And I was about to lose homeowner's insurance as well. I didn't really know where to go in order to get help. And so I applied for Operation Homefront Critical Financial Assistance Program. They've really been a blessing. Operation Homefront is a safety net. A lot of veterans, they fall through the cracks sometimes. And Operation Homefront, they catch us. It's been a blessing to us. It's a blessing to other veteran families. And it's good to know that when we come home, there are people who are there that care about us and want to see us do well and want to see us succeed. And we feel it and we appreciate that. I would say you guys are angels behind closed doors.
Visit OperationHomefront.org to learn more.
Here's your forecast from locally grown radio, WFHR. 42 today, under overcast skies, winds out of the south, 5 to 10 miles per hour. 35 tonight, slight chance for scattered rain showers. Tomorrow, high of 54. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki. Currently, it's 32. Here's your forecast from locally grown radio, WFHR. 42 today, under overcast skies, winds out of the south, 5 to 10 miles per hour. 35 tonight, slight chance for scattered rain showers. Tomorrow, high of 54. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki. Currently, it's 32.
Okay.
All right, let's take another look back at the week's big headlines. National correspondent for Courier Newsroom out of California, Kia. Hello, how are you?
Hey, Pat, I am well.
All right. Well, I've got some themes that I've written down for this week, and then we can just kind of hit them any way we want. The election theme is that banning abortion probably wasn't a good idea. The debate theme is that you really shouldn't hold it without your front runner. The congressional theme is that shutdowns have never been a good idea for Republicans. It just seems like the people who are coming up with bad ideas just keep going back to the well with those bad ideas. And it was reflected in this week's election results by and large, right?
Yes. Yeah, this week's election results were, you know, largely an absolute disaster for Republicans. You had, you know, a Democratic governor win re-election in Kentucky by a bigger margin than a Republican governor won re-election in Mississippi. That should tell you a lot. You had Glenn Youngkin, the governor of Virginia, pledge to pass a 15-week abortion ban and campaign on it. And if his party won control of the legislature, they lost control of the state house and failed to win control of the Senate. So he got rebooked. In Pennsylvania, you had a pro-choice state Supreme Court candidate win. In Ohio, you saw voters roundly approve an abortion rights referendum to cement it in the state constitution and approve legal marijuana. And you saw a lot of Moms for Liberty-backed far-right school board candidates get absolutely crushed in places like Iowa and North Carolina, you know, areas that are not necessarily liberal bastions. And what that says is that the right's agenda is incredibly unpopular. You know, abortion bans, no matter how you try to message it, people do not want them. People do not trust Republicans on the issue of choice or bodily autonomy. Book bans and, you know, these really intense far-right crazy education agendas, parents don't want that. You know, in very deep red places, you know, that is happening. And even there, we're seeing pushback. So what it says is, you know, and, you know, you talked about the debate and in Congress, what's happening. It's not a political party with a popular agenda or a coherent governing philosophy. It's a circus with a bunch of giant personalities pushing crazy ideas.
And those personalities include that Virginia governor, Glenn Youngkin, who had things gone differently. We might be talking today about him getting into the presidential race as early as this weekend and probably being the one who immediately becomes the only real challenger to Donald Trump. I mean, that was really what people were foreseeing had elections gone that way. But those pesky voters got in the way of all of that.
Yeah, they did. And, you know,
those voters with their strong opinions about having their rights attacked, you know.
Yes. Turns out people don't like having rights taken away from them, especially when it has to do with, you know, their bodies, the future of their lives. You know, this isn't something like, you know, a 20% tax rate versus a 22% tax rate. This is whether you're going to be forced to give birth, potentially undergo serious medical trauma before you can have an exception. Like, this is pretty jarring. We're still seeing horror stories out of states with extreme abortion bans. And, you know, Glenn Youngkin is not going to be president. Ron DeSantis is not going to be president. Donald Trump could be, and that's a very scary thought. But he's running away with the primary. And, you know, there's these Republican donors who have a pipe dream of someone else beating him. And every person they are, you know, fawning over is more as extreme, if not more extreme, on abortion than he is.
So as we look to 2024, look, we've seen this week was filled with polling numbers. My amateur guess is that a lot of places wanted to have a poll 1 year before the election, you know, to talk about. So that's why we've seen so many polls lately. And there was so much doom and gloom in the polls. But again, one of the themes this week is that, you know, doom and gloom about what I tell a pollster is no longer the same thing as how I'm going to vote when you give me option A and option B.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, Donald Trump absolutely has an advantage. We've seen a lot of head-to-head polls showing him leading President Biden. He has definitely benefited from not being in the news as much as he will be once he's the nominee. You know, and clearly Democratic policies are popular, even in red states. We're seeing that. We're seeing Democrats win. We saw that last year. The MAGA agenda is not a popular one. Now, are there fair concerns about, you know, is it fair to say that what we saw this week will absolutely benefit President Biden? We don't know. There are genuine specific things that, you know, voters are saying about him versus other Democrats. But broadly, yes, what you're saying is correct, where when we see election results in special elections going back to last year and in 2020 and in 2023, with the exception of Youngkin's win in 2021, there has not been an election where Republicans have performed up to their expectations. And so what that says is that when push comes to shove on election day, Democrats are overperforming. And that means something. So, you know, there are fair questions to ask about the president, but that does not mean that come next November that Trump is going to win by these margins in the polls.
So the president, meanwhile, is, again, trying to overcome some of this doom and gloom by continuing to message the positive points of the economy. Yesterday, he was in Illinois to open up a Stellantis auto plant to help get people back to work after the, you know, the long auto worker strike. So he's certainly not lacking for material. He's certainly not lacking for data points. And despite people saying, well, he's failing, again, if this is the theme he sticks to between now and next November, past history tells us why it doesn't sound like the Biden team is, you know, panicking and running for the exits, I guess.
Yeah, I mean, look, there are a lot of accomplishments they can point to on the economic front, on the policy front over the first couple of years of his term. You know, his efforts with the UAW and showing up to the picket line, visiting, you know, Illinois on Thursday. He is absolutely the much, much stronger candidate on unions, on working class people, on economic policy. There's a host of stuff they can point to, and they have been pointing to, and they will continue to. You know, it's going to, we'll see how much of a dent that makes, you know, with voters. But yeah, if we're looking purely at policy, it's not a contest, unfortunately. But unfortunately, you know, politics is a mess. And, you know, he's not necessarily getting the recognition that is warranted for everything they've accomplished. And that's a real issue on the campaign. And, you know, they're going to have to figure something out.
When you say politics is a mess, here is my most personal evidence of this, because I don't want to just rip the Wednesday night Republican debate, you know, just because. I want to make clear, I am fascinated by politics. I think politics is important. I am a nerd. I try to keep up on so many things.
You and me both.
But I looked at that debate in Miami, and there was nothing about me. It wasn't just that, you know, the people, but I just didn't think there was going to be news value in this. I didn't see any way a leaning Trump voter was going to be moved. I don't think I was wrong this week.
No. And, you know, this is it is my job to live and breathe politics. I, like you, am a nerd about it. I consume it in my downtime. I did not even realize I had forgotten there was a debate until Wednesday morning. Because that's how important this debate is, which is to say there's literally no value to it. We have Donald Trump, who's winning virtually every poll in every state by 20, 30, 40 percentage points. And he's not on the stage. And you have five or six candidates who are refusing to really target him or attack him. They're attacking each other, you know, fighting for second place. And even if you add up all the non-Trump vote, it doesn't come close to the Trump vote. So, you know, they can go on stage and attack each other, and Vivek Ramaswamy can make a fool of himself, and Nikki Haley can be the strongest alternative if this were the 2012 Republican Party. Mm-hmm. But ultimately, it's a giant waste of time. And the amount of, you know, one of the things I always think about is the amount of journalistic media reporter infrastructure and time dedicated to this race. That's really not a race. Think about all the stories that aren't being covered on abortion, on education, on corruption. There's so much being missed just because, you know, of this horse race coverage on an election, on a primary race that's been over since May.
Yeah. The next debate will be next month, and it will, I mean, talk about a step down. You know, they're on NBC this week, clearly didn't catch fire. It's going to News Nation. And then Megyn Kelly is apparently still employed someplace, and she will be moderating that one. That's assuming there's people up on that stage. I don't know right now in front of me what the qualifications are for this next debate. But as we, you know, we saw Doug Burnham drop out of this one, Asa Hutchinson dropped out of this one. I didn't think Tim Scott was going to make this one. So, you know, he and Chris Christie, they may not be up there. And again, it may all be pointless, but at least we want to let folks know there will be another debate. So.
Yeah.
Another chance.
Only way Yeah, I think truly the only way that debate will have any significance is if everyone that's not named Ron DeSantis or Nikki Haley drops out. And then, because those are the only two polling, you know, consistently above 10%. Mm-hmm. If you can't win one out of every 10 primary voters and it's December of a month before the caucus in Iowa, what are you doing in the race?
Fair question.
Yeah. So if you want to leave those two to go at it and then whoever wins from them is the non-Trump alternative, that might make sense. You know, will they win against Trump? Most likely not. But this clown car of candidates who are polling at 5, 6, 7%, you know, rolling out their girlfriends for the first time in November to, you know, try to revive their campaign.
I have a girlfriend.
Yeah. This is a Tim Scott reference for anyone who lives a normal life, unlike us. Yeah. It's a waste of time.
Yep. And then finally, when we talk a week from now, we will be apparently on the cusp of yet another government shutdown. And I'm not even going to try to ask you for a prediction because there's nothing that indicates that there's going to be movement. And that's really all we can do, right? Is be surprised this time next week if there's been progress, right?
Yeah, I mean, you Republicans don't seem to want a shutdown, but they also don't seem capable of avoiding one.
It's them and Trump. They don't really like him. They know he's kind of a loser. He's an albatross tied to their neck, just like shutdowns are. But they don't have the spinal fortitude, shall we say, to do anything about it.
No, and
they're not victims, though. They're not. Oh, we're being dragged into a shutdown. No, you're not. You're not.
No, they control one. They control the House. That comes with some responsibility to govern. And the problem is a big chunk of House Republicans don't actually want to govern. They want to cause chaos. They probably want to shut down, you know, the Freedom Caucus. And so you have to contend with that when you're Mike Johnson and these quote unquote, you know, more moderate, you know, 4 or 5 Republicans from New York. But yeah, there's no clear indication of whether we will have one or not. We're no closer to budget deals. And a shutdown will have real impacts on people.
Here's set aside the federal budget. Actually, you alluded to something a week from now. I'm hoping we know more about Mike Johnson's budget. No bank accounts, no credit cards. There's something funny there that I don't know if we'll discover it by next week, but it just seems odd. So many things to watch for. Kia Vakil, national political correspondent. You can catch everything he does over at upnorthnewswi.com. Thank you, my friend. Have a good weekend.
You too. Thanks.
Okay. I got to take a sip of coffee after that, Greg. And I have an announcement. I am out of creamer. I can't tell you the last time I've had just black coffee with sugar, and
I don't know what you're going to do. I mean, it just,
this coffee tastes like coffee. I don't know the last time I've had coffee that tastes like coffee.
Can you make that announcement again, please? To let the listening public know
that this coffee tastes like coffee. So I have my drink Wisconsin Blee mug here. I'll hold it up to the camera.
Nice.
And on it says, "Shh, this isn't coffee." This is actually the first time there's been nothing but coffee in this thing. Look what else came in the mail here. The latest Hammerker Schlemmer catalog is here.
That just sounds like a slur to German people.
Hammerker Schlemmerker. Again, not too late to get your Christmas tree from a catalog. We asked earlier in the hour, when is the right time? You can answer us by calling in any time. We're going to take a break and have today's history lesson next. You're up north.
My friend Teddy almost set his house on fire. He used a counterfeit, you know, a fake wall charger. He had to go to the hospital.
My big sister Jenna's face turned bright red. She was just showing people online how to use a new cream. She still has the scars.
My brother's friend Billy had to jump off his motor scooter when it caught fire. He fell and got hit by a car. He broke his leg. Blew his chances to play basketball in college.
My BFF Chloe was riding her bike and hit a ditch. Her helmet broke in two. Now, she has a brain injury.
There is a cost to buying cheap. Do you want to pay the price? Real products are tested for safety. Protect yourself. Don't fall for fake products.
Visit ncpc.org/goforreal. Brought to you by the National Crime Prevention Council and the United States Patent and Trademark Office.
Locally grown radio, 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM. News, talk, and sports from Vesper to Plover.
Heading back to 1973, this was the number one album, Goodbye Yellow Brick Road, from Elton John. Along with Benny and the Jets, there was the title track to Goodbye Yellow Brick Road, Saturday Night's All Right for Fighting. Number one this day, 50 years ago today. And that just made me feel way too old. Did you, we only hear the commercials for one of the Civic Media radio stations in our headphones while the network is taking a commercial break. The one that I'm hearing from the Waukesha area is for a jewelry store, and it featured Mean Gene Okerlund from All-Star Wrestling back in the, speaking of going back to the 70s. Do you remember Mean Gene?
Of course I do. Mean Gene Okerlund, WWF, WWE, WCW. I mean,
but even before that, he was on just like the local station one, you know, with the Crusher, and oh my goodness, that brought back some memories.
It's really dark though, because like it's like I'm Mean Gene Okerlund, and I'm here with my gold. I'm like, you're dead. This is a really dark commercial now.
I know, but it brought back some memories.
Yeah, so, I love Mean Gene.
Love Mean Gene. Happy birthday, Marines. The U.S. Marine Corps was formed by the Continental Congress on this day in 1775. I believe they wrote this song just for us. For us who admire the Marines. There we go. Here's the Marine Corps theme, and again, with Veterans Day tomorrow, we salute all veterans of all the services for helping protect our country. All right, this is the anniversary of the birth of Carl Stalling. You might not know the name, but if you saw the name Carl Stalling on a TV screen with the Looney Tunes cartoon background behind you, you'd go, oh, that name. I've seen that name 1,000 times. He was the composer for so many Looney Tunes themes. Here's just like a little 15-second sample. I like it.
Yeah.
And then there's this one. I still use this one all the time. If I'm in a hurry someplace, I'm like, dun, 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 dun.
I love this one.
He had to turn in one score a week for like 20 years.
Oh my God.
When he was doing this for Warner Brothers. And always coming up with something different. Passed away in 1972, but Carl Stalling, born this day in 1891. A couple more birthdays. Tracy Morgan and Tom Papa. Two comedians are both 55 years old today. I really like Tom Papa.
Tom Papa's so funny.
Oh my gosh. Good. See, I'm nervous about bringing these things up because I'm going to bring up some comedian and you're going to say, oh yeah, I met him or her. What a jerk.
No, honestly, I can say this with confidence. In all my years doing comedy, I could say there's maybe 2-3 comics that I've met where I'm not even going to say they were jerks. They were just like, not like, hey, how's it going? You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like,
yeah,
they were nice people.
You have to be that kind of person there. Yeah. Let's play a little Sesame Street because it's an anniversary for them as well. Sesame Street premiered this day, 1969. Sing along, kids. I can tell you that I was one of those viewers of the very first Sesame Street. I was a kindergartner at the time, but it was very cool to have a new TV show just for us kids with these crazy characters. I loved Oscar the Grouch. I can't imagine why, but yeah.
Oh, this is like modern.
Oh, yeah, it's a whole montage of Sesame Street themes. Let's see. Ellen Pompeo, Meredith Grey from Grey's Anatomy, is 54. Rapper Eve is 45. And now we got to take a bit of a dark turn here because it was on this day in 1975 that we lost the Edmund Fitzgerald. Gordon Lightfoot, of course, who recently passed away, would write about this, but it was a 730-foot-long freighter that sank during a storm on Lake Superior, killing all 29 on board.
I love doing it, Gordon Lightfoot.
It's definitely a one-of-a-kind song. You know, definitely written in honor of them, but also a song about such a tragic real life happening. All right, one more musical bit for you. And Miranda Lambert is 40 today. She's had many, many hits, but I think if I had to pick one, I think Kerosene was one of her very first, and I just really like it. So we'll play a little bit of that. It was on this day in 1983 that Bill Gates introduced Windows 1.0. Windows 1.0. It's hard to believe that things even go that far back.
Yeah.
Somebody was among the first to use it. And I remember being so impressed that there could be something on the computer screen besides, you know, little pixel dots, you know, letters and numbers.
DOS.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it was shortly after the introduction of 1.0 that their screen froze up.
I was just happy not to have to use punch cards anymore because they were still teaching us in school.
Oh, my God.
You know, that you had to fill out these punch cards if you wanted this computer to play Oregon Trail. You've died of dysentery. And I thought that was all computers were good for. And Bill Gates said, here's a few more things. All right, we mentioned it's the Marine Corps birthday. We mentioned it's Sesame Street's anniversary. This is also World Immunization Day. It's International Accounting Day. So I think that gives you permission to kiss your local accountant, I think. Maybe. I don't know. I didn't read the full resolution. It's National Vanilla Cupcake Day. It's National Forget-Me-Not Day. And it's National Area Code Day. And area codes are again one of those relics that you don't really need. We need 10-digit phone numbers, but remember how area codes were, you know, based on, you know, the 414 was, you know, you were calling from the Milwaukee area, and I'm up here in the 715, and you could tell by somebody's area code, you know, where they were calling from or where they're from. But now it's impossible because you can get pretty much any number you want at this point.
I grew up in Waukesha right here, and I'm of the age where my area code was 414 back in the day.
Oh, yeah. Yep. Very much so. I mean, same goes for a lot of states that they've had to carve up. But I remember looking at a video. I think we rented on the history segment a few months back, a little video clip from one of those films introducing people to 7-digit phone numbers because a lot of Americans were frightened by so many numbers to dial. And now I don't even know my own phone number because of speed dial. Take a break here, and in our second hour, we'll talk about some great progress happening in Wausau with Mayor Katie Rosenberg. You're up north.
I'm Scarlett Johansson. My family relied on public assistance to help provide meals for us. These meals fueled my involvement in theater and the arts as a child, which fostered my love for acting. The Feeding America network of food banks helps millions of people put food on the table. You can join the movement to end hunger by donating, volunteering, and advocating. Because when people are fed, futures are nourished. Join the movement to end hunger at feedingamerica.org/act now.
Brought to you by Feeding America and the Ad Council.
How do you locate a support group, professional association, or local organization? United Way's 211 will provide the answers to these questions and more. 211 is your connection to programs and services in Central Wisconsin. Dial 211 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. In this ever-changing world, it is often hard to find the program or service you're looking for. United Way's 211 can assist you locating services. 211 is free and confidential. Trained referral specialists will help you get connected 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Dial 211. Every day, people begin a difficult and sometimes desperate search for programs that can provide assistance. United Way's 211 is there to connect you to the programs and services you need. For non-emergency information and referral services, call United Way's 211 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Dial 211. With thousands of programs in the database, they can assist you 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Dial 211.
My name is Teresa Barber. I was in the United States Navy, and I served overseas in the Middle East and Africa. Early on in my career, I had a commander that taught our suicide prevention training, and the very next day, he took his own life. 90% of suicide attempts involving a gun are fatal. My way of continuing my service is to help protect my community by being a responsible gun owner and by storing firearms safely. Store all your guns securely. Help stop suicide.
Brought to you by End Family Fire and the Ad Council.
The Todd Almost Show.
I had tweeted out after the second game of the year, a hot take. I said, by the end of the year, we will see Braden Locke as the starting quarterback of the Wisconsin Badgers. Now, Mr. Mordecai broke his hand. And by golly, not the way I thought it would happen, but Braden Locke has become the starting quarterback.
And another finger on the monkey's paw curls.
WFHR Wisconsin Rapids. 1320 AM and W248DE, broadcasting at 97.5 FM.